Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The news concerning Jesus had reached King Herod. Jesus is performing miracles. He's preaching the word of God in great power, and people are gathering around Jesus to listen to him. But who is this Jesus? That is a question many were wondering. Some suggested that he is Elijah. Others thought that only John the Baptist, risen from the dead, could perform miracles like that. Others figured Jesus is yet another prophet among the great line of prophets whom God had raised up in Old Testament times. While they were trying to figure out who Jesus is, we know. Jesus is true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and also true man born of the Virgin Mary. He is our Lord. He is the one who became our sin and shed his innocent blood on our behalf, serving as the ransom payment for our sin when he went to the cross. But at this point in Mark's gospel, not all knew what we know. Jesus had just sent out the 12 apostles. He had been preaching the word, calling on sinners to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He had driven out demons, and he had healed many people. Reports of his preaching and his miracles are circulating. And now, even King Herod had heard about this Jesus. This king appeared to have it all. He's a king, after all. And he could host banquets for the leading men of Galilee. He was in charge of the army. He could have whatever he wanted. He could even have whomever he wanted as his wife. He could live in complete freedom, as it appeared to be, to live as he wanted to live. Now, for those who have no desire to be godly in Christ, to those who do not want to have the mind of Christ, they will be quite jealous of those liberties which King Herod seemed to have. For he was not bound to any type of moral code. He seemed to have freedom, for no man could tell him what to do. Except one man, John the Baptist, who evidently would not just say a word to King Herod once, but multiple times. For John the Baptist was no respecter of persons. It did not matter of a person standing in society. If that person transgressed God's law, that person transgressed God's law. And so, John the Baptist informed King Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Now, if I go up to you and tell you that you cannot marry your sibling's spouse, it would have probably no bearing on you. It would be rather obvious to you that that is not something that you are about to do or had any interest in doing. But why would this make Herod so angry? Why? Well, as you heard, Herod had a brother named Philip. Philip was married to a woman who was named Herodias. And Herod wanted to marry Herodias, his brother's wife. And Herodias, she wanted to leave her husband Philip and marry her brother-in-law because he is the king after all. And what Herod wanted, Herod got. Are you envious of such privilege? The freedom to have all that you want? Be careful, for Satan is always knocking at the door. He is trying to tempt you to covet your neighbor's house or your neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Instead of listening to the word of God as proclaimed by John the Baptist, the great King Herod thought he had a better idea. Lock up John. Yet at the same time, Herod feared John, knowing that John was a righteous and holy man. You see, as free as Herod wanted to portray himself to be, he was not free at all. When Herod knowingly and willingly transgressed the law of God, he also got himself entangled into other messes. Because Herod had thrown out God's word on marriage and even divorce, he is now bound to a woman who wanted John the Baptist dead, for Herodias held the greater hatred for John telling the truth. Oh, how common that is even in our day. The anger so many express when they are confronted with the true word of God. Instead of learning and listening to the true way of life and freedom, they will instead replace it with lies so that they can continue going down the route that they want to take. They figure that their choices and their decisions mean for themselves their own freedom. But ironically, it places them into bondage, enslaved to their wrong choices, and bound to their sin. That is what happens when people engage in sexual relationships outside of marriage, pretend that boys are girls, or divorce without seeking pastoral care and Christian counsel. Many will plow forward, trying and seeking to do whatever pleases their sensual desires, rather than hearing what God has to say in His Word. They figure that God is a killjoy and will ruin their freedom. But in doing so, they ironically enslave themselves to their sin and reject the true way of freedom found in Christ the Lord, who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who reconciles us to our Father by shedding His innocent blood on our behalf, and who opens the gate of heaven to us because Christ has conquered death and He has swallowed it up in victory, granting us life. Now one day, when Herod was throwing a birthday party, Herodias' daughter, a teenager, came in and danced before the men. Arousing their lustful passion, she pleads Herod and his guests. Without taking counsel in the word of God or what would be fitting for someone who desires to be godly in Christ, Herod vows that he will grant his niece, who is now his stepdaughter, whatever she wants, up to half of his kingdom. She's not sure what to ask for, so she goes to her mother for ideas. And Herodias, who had blood on her lips all the while, requests the head of John the Baptist. Almost shockingly, this makes Herod sorry, but he does not change his course. He made an oath, and he did not want to renege before his guests, and so he sent for an executioner to fulfill her horrible request. Now, in addition to a coveter and an adulterer, a man without a savior, he is now also a murderer, seeing to it the execution of St. John the Baptist of all people. And what freedom, and the freedom he seemed to have, that was nothing but a charade. He was enslaved to his own sinful lifestyle, and he was without the love and peace that only our triune God could provide. From a worldly standpoint, John the Baptist appeared enslaved, having nothing. Sure, people came out to him as he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Yes, he even had followers who came to visit him when he was imprisoned. He certainly had that great privilege as serving as the forerunner to the Christ, announcing our Lord's coming. He baptized many, but his clothing remained simple, made of camel skin. His diet also remained simple, eating locusts and honey. And he was imprisoned for upsetting the king and his new wife. His death would make many conclude that his life was a life wasted and a life gone. But despite John's simple life and imprisonment, and even despite the beheading he faced, John was loved by Christ, redeemed by his Lord, and blessed to be a child of God. John was forgiven of all of his sin. This beheading was not some sort of punishment for some sort of failure that he had done in his life. Instead, he is numbered among those who died while confessing the faith. And we will see him at the resurrection. John fulfilled his vocation. His ministry was prophesied in the Old Testament. He, being filled with the Holy Spirit, leapt in his mother's womb at the voice of Mary. He prepared the way of the Lord. And then, as his ministry was wrapping up, as Christ was beginning his own ministry, John the Baptist knew that he must now get out of the way. His work was fulfilled. John rightly said, "Jesus must increase, but I must decrease." John knew that he was unworthy to untie our Lord's sandals. Many would look down at John for being a religious type, a man of the cloth. But he was not a weak minister. He was not afraid of his audience, nor was he unwilling to confess. He spoke the truth even before a king, and he was not ashamed. He died protecting the true freedoms that are granted in Christ, freedom that comes with sin forgiven and eternal life secured. Many would follow in John's footsteps, including Stephen and James, as reported in the book of Acts. Paul, prior to his conversion, consented to the death of Christians. And many sins have died as martyrs confessing the faith. I must say, as I was writing these things, I could not help but think about those events that have been taking place in Afghanistan over the last few weeks. On both sides of the political aisle, it appears that many Americans were ready to end that conflict there. But seeing how many people are being trapped and their right to safety being stripped by fundamental Islam, it troubles me to consider how many of our native friends there will be murdered, how many women and children abused, and how many Christians slaughtered. We must pray for them, and we must pray for the family and friends of those troops who have lost their lives, and for those troops and those who support them who suffer in any way, such as PTSD from their service there. In fact, we must spend less time throwing parties like King Herod and more time in God's word, in prayer, and especially in the divine service. My thoughts also for this day, with the hurricane approaching Louisiana, and these events in Afghanistan, should drive people to come to church to pray. If this does not motivate them, what will motivate them? After all, Jesus, when he encourages us to pray, invites us to cast our burdens on him, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Jesus reminds us, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, despite the luxuries King Herod enjoyed and the ways that he seemed to be above restriction and regulation, there was something that still loomed over him. Herod suffered from a guilty conscience. He knew it was wrong to do these things to John the Baptist. When Herod heard about the ministry of Jesus and the speculation offered by those concerning our Lord's identity, Herod concluded with his own answer. Herod figured that this man who wandered in Galilee as John the Baptist raised from the dead, for Herod, upon hearing Jesus, said in fear, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." Many, supposing that they are free as they engage in whatever pleases them, are vexed by their guilty consciences. They may be trying to prove to the world how they're free to do whatever vice pleases them, but in the reality, they're not much different than Herod. Herod knew this act of murder was wrong and could not shake it from his mind. Such is the way when people are bound by their sin. They have not only lost the true freedom they receive when they receive the forgiveness of Christ and are added to God's family by holy baptism, but they are bound by a guilty conscience, even as they are convincing themselves otherwise. John the Baptist baptized sinners and proclaimed repentance, proclaimed Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and showed the way to access to the kingdom of God. He freed people from their sin as the Holy Spirit worked in them faith in Christ, as John preached the word. The scriptures teach us that baptism saves us, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Christ. You see, in Christ, you are truly free. What sins of your past haunt you? What things keep you up at night because you cannot shake them? Turn to the Lord in repentance and know that Christ grants you a clean conscience. For as far as the east is from the west, so far Christ has removed your sin from you. They are gone, and your sins are replaced with the very righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. For if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. This freedom means that you are free from slavery to your own sin, and that it is replaced with the righteousness of Christ. This freedom is that you are freed from death, and that you shall live. And this freedom means that you are freed from the devil and his works and his ways, and that you now are members of the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God for this freedom. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.